Kearney Lutheran in Warren, Oregon. Today I'm preaching on the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. This is talking about Jesus, James, John, Peter, and Andrew. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, when it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I do not like commercials. I get annoyed by the too frequent interruptions of whatever I am watching. But I am one of those people who watches the Super Bowl for the commercials. About a dozen years ago, Duracell ran a Super Bowl commercial featuring Derek Coleman of the Seattle Seahawks. At a young age, Derek lost his hearing. The commercial told in just a minute the story of Derek's being bullied, picked last for teams, harassed by coaches, even not being drafted by the NFL. And then comes the signature line when Coleman says, "Everybody told me to quit. They told me it was over. But I've been deaf since I was 3, so I didn't listen." The last scene is of Coleman entering the Super Bowl arena and saying, "And now I'm here with a lot of fans cheering me on, and I can hear them all." Naturally, this is followed by the tagline across the screen, "Duracell, trust your power." The commercial was so wonderful because it created a sense of possibility, potential, empowerment, and freedom. Derek's story of living into the person he felt he was meant to be, against great odds to boot, inspires us because we hope that's our story too. Today's gospel text from the book of Mark shows us how Jesus gives us a sense of possibility, potential, empowerment, and freedom. It picks up right after last week's gospel lesson when Jesus drove a demon out of a man in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Today we read that from the synagogue, Jesus, John, and James went with Peter and Andrew to their house for dinner. However, when they get there, they find Peter's mother-in-law in bed, sick with a fever. Jesus heals her of that fever, and she gets up and goes right to work fixing a meal for her company. Now, I expect that some women hearing this question the fairness of it. The woman was sick enough to have to go to bed rather than prepare a meal for her family. Now she's barely healed and immediately hurries to the kitchen to prepare a big Sabbath dinner for a household of company. But let us remember, Jesus did not just restore her health. He restored her to her place in society. She was once again able to run her home, feed her family, and offer the expected Middle Eastern hospitality. She would have been mortified to have been in bed with company in her home. When her neighbors found out about the lack of hospitality, she would have been scorned. Now she had a restored purpose. Jesus freed her from what had prevented her from fully living her life. This was part of Jesus' mission. First, Jesus came to show us the Father. John 14, verses 9 through 11. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anybody who sees me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves." Second, Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God to us. He came to free us from the sinful ties to this limited world by his living sacrifice on the cross. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, we become part of the kingdom of God. As believers, we facilitate "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." All the Gospels have the same message. God wants to set us all free, so that we might live into our God-given identity and potential, claiming our calling as children of God, and join God in the mission to love and bless the world. We often speak of the freedom from sin that Jesus offers. Additionally, Jesus offers freedom from the manifestations of sin, such as fear, loss, despair, worry, insecurity, hopelessness, and many others that plague us. Jesus not only frees us from things that seek to burden and oppress us, but also frees us for a life of purpose, meaning, and good works. Those things we do as a response to the gospel, to serve our neighbor in generosity. This is what we see in today's gospel text. Peter's mother is freed from the claim on her life by illness to the restoration of her ability to serve her guests, which for her meant serving God himself in Christ Jesus. What would it be like to think every time you respond to someone's need that you just responded to God's call? When you prepare a meal for your spouse and your family, you are living into the freedom you have in Christ. When you do the laundry or wash the kitchen floor, you are living into the freedom you have in Christ. When you vacuum out your car, your wife's car, or take out the trash, you're living into the freedom you have in Christ. When you decide to give up sodas or lattes and donate the money to a world hunger appeal, when you clean the church bathrooms, mow or rake the church lawn or a neighbor's lawn, you are living into the freedom you have in Christ. Here's another way that the kingdom of God is so opposite the kingdom of this world. The way our world works is that if you work hard, you get rest. If you work hard enough, you get promoted. The higher you go up the ladder of success, the easier the work becomes. Most of our working life is focused on the concept of paying our dues and getting to the place where someone else does the grunt work, and eventually we retire. In the kingdom of God, the son of the king washed the feet of his subordinates, and then he died for them. Where does such nonsense occur? Only in the kingdom of perfect love. The famous Pastor Frederick Buchner said, "The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." Usually, different kingdoms are recognized by their unique flag, their different language, different currency, traffic signs, even which side of the road they drive on. Winston Churchill nearly died in New York City once when he made the mistake of crossing a street and looking the wrong way to check for traffic. The kingdom of God is real and is present wherever people pray the way Jesus taught us to pray. The kingdom of God is present when we see the fruit of the Spirit, that is love, joy, patience, kindness, peace, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The kingdom is present wherever people pour water over the heads of babies or take bread and wine to their lips, all simply because Jesus told us that this is the way we are to act in remembrance of him. Wherever a believer refuses to go along with some scheme that is hurtful or untruthful, the kingdom of God is visible. When a word is spoken in peace or kindness, we see the kingdom of God. Yes, the kingdom of God that we will see only at the end of our current life is beyond our imaginations. Yet we catch glimpses in the here and now. We can offer others a glimpse of the kingdom to come when we serve in the name of Christ Jesus. Our gospel text goes on to tell us that by evening, everyone in the immediate area who needed some sort of healing shows up at Peter and Andrew's house looking for healing. And Jesus heals all who came. We are told that early the next morning, Jesus sought out a desolate place for some quiet time in prayer. When the others find him, Jesus says, "Let's go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. Jesus' ministry included many more exorcisms and healings. But notice what he said. "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." As he became too busy to keep up the pace, Jesus commissioned others to assist in his work, including the preaching. Yes, we followers of Christ are commissioned to love our neighbors as ourselves. We are commissioned to serve others, whatever the need may be. However, I caution you to never be so busy serving the Lord that you forget to preach the Lord. What is the point of feeding someone for a day or a week, only to leave them lost in this world? We must be sure to tell them that better kingdom that has already been won for them, that the leader of that kingdom gave his life for them and now has a new home waiting for them. The phrase kingdom of God does not appear once in the Old Testament, but Jesus uses that phrase 82 times in the four Gospels. It is the most valuable possession ever, and it's free for the asking and forgiving. Can it be intimidating to witness about Jesus and his kingdom? You bet. We find ourselves doubting that we can do it. We fear that we may say the wrong thing. So let's go to Jesus' words. In Matthew 10, verses 19 and 20, Jesus tells his disciples, "Do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Because the kingdom of God is ours, we have possibility, potential, empowerment, and freedom. Jesus will be with you. Jesus has given you all you need to preach and serve in his kingdom. Trust your power. Amen."